Teledyne Continental is sold to AVIC. Who's next? RunwayFinder.com shuts down. And the FAA issues emergency ADs. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, December 15th, 2010. Yesterday morning started with the news that Teledyne Continental Motors has been sold to Technify Motor Limited, a U.S. subsidiary of China's AVIC International. The sale price was reportedly $186 million U.S. The official spin all sounds good, including an announcement to keep the company's senior management, facilities in Mobile, Alabama, and local workforce of 400 in place. The sale also includes Teledyne Matatuck Services Incorporated. President Rhett Ross says he's excited. Quote, AVIC International will greatly strengthen Continental Motors' market access. In addition, increased investment will accelerate new products such as Continental Motors' TD300 diesel engine, which is well suited to growing regions given international fuel availability. The transaction will allow Continental Motors to continue to be a global leader in the general aviation piston engine industry, unquote. Officials of AVIC are saying they were attracted by TCM's quality reputation and Mobile's growing presence in the aerospace industry, which is about to get a big boost with the construction of a new Eads tanker and freighter finishing facility. We're going to have to get used to announcements like this as the economy comes back around. The Chinese now reportedly own roughly $1 trillion in U.S. dollar-denominated debt, and as U.S. economic policy devalues those dollars, their most efficient use for the Chinese is in buying U.S. domestic assets, like the recent stake in General Motors taken by two Chinese banks in the IPO. Some industry watchers are already taking another look at the recent Cirrus rumors, the idea that government-controlled aviation companies in China are shopping for U.S. aviation assets, raises questions about whether that same government may be about to loosen up the restrictions on private sector aviation in China, including all that military airspace, or just taking advantage of a buyer's market at the bottom of a recession. Continental and its competitor Lycoming both have advanced technology which has been slow to come to market, in part due to a lack of capital in the current climate. If this influx of money suddenly empowers Continental, handing it an advantage in the marketplace, what other dominoes could fall? 2011 is already starting to look interesting. In a development sure to bring a backlash, the popular free flight planning website RunwayFinder.com has ceased operations following legal threats from FlightPrep.com, which claims patent infringement. Runway Finder's Dave Parsons notified ANN of the development by email. His blog explains, quote, I was hoping to be able to work out an agreement with FlightPrep where the lawsuit against Runway Finder would be withdrawn and the website could stay online in return for some free advertising and removal of this entire blog post. FlightPrep has instead decided to keep the lawsuit active, so unfortunately Runway Finder must be shut down. FlightPrep has posted some sort of temporary license on their website instead of contacting me directly, but unfortunately does not provide relief from their claimed damages, unquote. FlightPrep offered a calculation it says shows damages of over $3 million a month due to Runway Finder's operation. It's not clear where this will all go now, or whether FlightPrep's asserted rights under its patent will be challenged. The FAA has issued an emergency airworthiness directive affecting some Cessna Corvallis aircraft. It was prompted by a flight test aircraft that suffered a 7-foot-long debonding of a wing skin from an upward forward wing spar. That condition could lead to a catastrophic failure of the wing. Cessna says the emergency AD covers only 8 aircraft, and none are flying in the field. 6 are either Cessna demonstrators or undelivered, while the only aircraft delivered is being modified for flight to the Pacific Rim and is not currently flying. 1 other is having its wing replaced due to damage sustained in a ground accident. The AD requires owners to obtain written approval to operate the airplane from the manager of the Wichita Aircraft Certification Office. Lance Air International Director of Marketing and Sales Doug Meyer has been quick to point out that the AD does not implicate the Columbias or other pre-Cessna iterations of the design, or a composite aircraft in general. Meyer says the 8 affected Cessna planes were, quote, interestingly, the ones made in Mexico, unquote. Another emergency AD affects some models of Bell helicopters, regarding separation of tail rotor blade tip weights. Find the models affected and the details in the text version of this story, dated December 14th, at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, DOT finds JetBlue. Gamma likes the tax compromise bill. And NBAA speaks out in support of a new bonus depreciation proposal. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 15th. I'm Paul Plack. The U.S. Department of Transportation has hit JetBlue Airways with a civil penalty of $600,000 for violations in two major areas. For one, the carrier is accused of a variety of violations of the Air Carrier Access Act for allegedly failing to provide assistance during boarding and deplaning, failing to properly handle resulting complaints, and failing to properly report the complaints to the department. DOT also says its investigators called JetBlue's reservation line and were offered tickets on flights conducted by codeshare partner Cape Air without the required notice that the flights were not actually on JetBlue. The law requires airlines to disclose the corporate and other advertised names of the airline doing the actual flying before booking passengers on codeshare flights. JetBlue may use up to $250,000 of that $600,000 total to fund remedies to those issues. The General Aviation Manufacturers Association has come out in favor of the tax compromise reached between the Obama administration and Congress. GAMA President Pete Bunce says the bill holds two provisions which could benefit GA. Quote, it permits businesses to expense capital investments, and it also extends the research and development tax credit. These proposals are extremely well targeted to create jobs, stimulate innovation, and get production lines moving again at manufacturing plants. We hope that Congress will not miss this tremendous opportunity to strengthen the general aviation manufacturing industry, unquote. The National Business Aviation Association is pleased with a proposal last week that would give U.S. companies tax benefits to help preserve manufacturing jobs while allowing companies immediate access to the benefits of business aircraft. The proposal outlined by the White House in a conference call would include allowing businesses 100% expensing of investments in capital assets through December 31, 2011, retroactive from September 8th of this year, and an accelerated or bonus depreciation allowance of 50% during 2012. Still ahead, Alan Poindexter leaves NASA. The Ariane rocket program reaches a milestone, and NASA looks for new ways to use the SCA. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, December 15th. I'm Paul Plack. NASA currently maintains an astronaut corps of 64 men and women, and the White House announced last week it wants a 10-month study conducted on whether that's too many, considering the U.S. will have no manned space capability for years after the shuttle retires. It's reasonable to expect that those with other options might not wait around to become part of that glut of former astronauts on the market when a cutback comes. Veteran astronaut Alan Poindexter isn't waiting around. NASA says he's resigned to head the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California, to to serve as the Dean of Students and Executive Director of Programs. Poindexter is a U.S. Navy captain who earned a Master of Science degree in Aeronautical Engineering from the school in 1995. He's logged more than 669 hours in space on two missions. The 200th Ariane rocket is now being put together at the spaceport in French Guiana in preparation for its February mission with Europe's second automated transfer vehicle, which will service the International Space Station. Ariane 5 is the latest version of Europe's Ariane launcher family, which began operations in 1979 and has orbited a full range of payloads, including telecommunications satellites, Earth observation and meteorology platforms, space exploration probes, defense and security spacecraft. The automated transfer vehicle for February's flight is named after German astronomer and mathematician Johannes Kepler and will be the second unmanned logistics spacecraft launched by Ariane 5 as part of Europe's contribution to the International Space Station's operation and maintenance. The shuttle fleet may be on the verge of retirement, but the modified Boeing 747 that's used to shuttle the shuttles from the alternate landing site at Edwards Air Force Base in California back to the Kennedy Space Center in Florida looks like it may remain in service. The Shuttle Carrier Aircraft, or SCA as it's called, will be used to deliver two of the shuttles to future homes and museums. But it's also being used to move Boeing's Phantom Ray to the Dryden Flight Research Center at Edwards. A test of that idea took off Monday afternoon from Lambert International Airport in St. Louis. Craig Brown, Phantom Ray Program Manager for Boeing, said the flight was exciting, quote, not just because it's the first time that an aircraft other than the space shuttle has flown on the SCA, but also because it puts Phantom Ray that much closer to making its first flight, unquote. Phantom Ray has been developed by Boeing as a stealthy, unmanned combat aircraft. When it arrives at Dryden, it'll start ground and high-speed taxi tests to prepare for its first flight early next year. And then, presumably, NASA will be looking for something else to piggyback on the big jet. I wonder if Gene and Teresa are ready to take wing walking to the next level. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Elon Musk of SpaceX explains how the success of last week's Falcon 9 Dragon demo mission could allow for trying for automated docking with the International Space Station on the next mission, possibly as early as next summer. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.